إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، so our talk today inshallah is about the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his wives, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being our example, then his life as a whole is exemplary for us, and that includes his life within his household, with his families, with his wives. So it would be of great benefit if we can gain some understanding of the why of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his wives. And there is a lot actually to learn about this. There is a lot reported in the Sunnah, and by no means we will be covering all or a great portion of it. We'll just be looking at some aspects of it. More details than what I'll be talking about, inshallah, you'll be able to find in this book, which is a book that I just sent for printing today. So you'll be getting some fresh information, and inshallah, it'll be available in about a month. It's called The Fragile Vessels, which is about the rights and obligations between the spouses in Islam. A good portion of it talks about the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the third of three book series on marriage, but it is the first one of the series to come out, inshallah. The others, if Allah gives us life, I'll be publishing them, inshallah, later this summer. The understanding or the knowledge about the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is like any other knowledge of the past, of the biographies of our Salaf. We find that we have limited knowledge of it. And this is interesting, or maybe saddening, I would say, because we find that any ummah emphasizes its history so much. And they try to make sure that their people know their history very well. Like in America, for instance, the students have to know the history of America in detail. And any other nation, you'll find that it emphasizes this. But for us Muslims, because of the prevalence of the disbelievers on our cultures and our curricula, we find that we put very little emphasis on knowing about our Salaf, the early Muslims who shaped Islam for us by their practices and by the way they implemented it. And this, the understanding about the mothers of the believers, is no exception. For instance, I will try, just to give you some idea of what I'm saying. I'll try to ask some questions and see how well we can answer those questions. The first question that I will ask is, who was the first woman that the Prophet ﷺ married? Khadija. Okay, we start with something easy to warm you up. Now the next question, I don't know if you were there when I asked some of these questions in Arlington. So you shouldn't answer if you know, because you already heard the answers. The next question, who was the last woman that the Prophet ﷺ married? Huh? Salama. Any other possibilities that you have? Okay. So inshallah, I'll keep the answer till a little later. How many women in total did the Prophet ﷺ marry? Huh? 13 or 30? 13. 1-3. Okay, any other answers? 9? 12? 11? Who said 11? Okay, 11 is the right answer. Inshallah, we'll mention their names and things like that. Next question is, who was the second woman that the Prophet ﷺ married? Sauda? Any other possibilities? Okay, that's the right answer. The third one that the Prophet ﷺ married? Aisha. Okay, that's correct too. Okay, now let's go, and inshallah I'll be asking some more questions. As who was the wife of the Prophet ﷺ who lived the longest? Aisha. Anything else? Anybody has any different answer? Hafsa? Hafsa. That's the other. We have two options now, Hafsa or Aisha. Any more? Okay, both questions are wrong. Both answers are wrong, sorry. So, and inshallah, I'll mention the answers very soon. Okay. First of all, why do we call the wives of the Prophet ﷺ the mothers of the believers? That is how Allah Azza wa Jal named them. Allah Azza wa Jal named them like this in His book. He said, النبي أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم. The Prophet has more right on the believers than themselves, and his wives are their mothers. So the wives of the Prophet ﷺ are the mothers of the believers. This is a position of respect and honor that Allah put them in, but still they maintain certain regulations that are different from the regulations between a person and his mother. For example, they have to stay in hijab and not allowed to mix with the strangers, with men that are not their close kins and maharim and things like that. But nobody is allowed to marry any of them, just like one is not allowed to marry his own mother. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُؤْذُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَن تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ أَبَدًا إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمًا. It is not allowed for you to harm Allah's messenger or marry his wives after him ever. Indeed, that would be in Allah's sight an enormous sin. Okay. The wives of the Prophet ﷺ, you know, even though I have included a biography of each one of them in this book, but inshallah, I will not cover or go over this biography except as needed because of the limitations of time. The first of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ was Khadija. Well, this echo that keeps coming, can it be controlled in any way? Because then I don't need to raise my voice as much. It's because of this? No, it's still there. Now it's gone. That's better, inshallah. I don't know if you can still hear me, but sounds somewhat better to me. Okay, Khadija radiallahu anha was the first of the Prophet's wives. Her birth and all these dates that I'll be giving are approximate. So if you go to the books of history, you'll find that the scholars differ about some of these dates. Sometimes they differ slightly, like by 1 or 2 years, and sometimes they differ tremendously. by 10 or 20 or more years. And the dates that I'll give are the ones that are closest to what I found to be correct, what I found to be closest to the right. Khadija radiallahu anha was born about 70 years before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, around 68 before the hijrah. And when she married the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was, according to the correct reports of Al-Bukhari and others, she was 40 years old and he was 25 years old. She died 3 years before his hijrah. She died 3 years before he migrated to Al-Madinah. So when she died, she was 65 years old, radiallahu anha. And Khadija is one of the four best women of all times. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُ نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ أَرْبَعَ مَرْيَمُ بِنْتُ عِمْرَانِ وَخَدِيجَةُ بِنْتُ خُوَيْلِدُ وَفَاطِمَةُ بِنْتُ مُحَمَّدُ وَآسِيَةُ مْرَأَةُ فِرْعَونَ. Which means the best of the people's women are four. Maryam bint Imran, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, Fatima bint Muhammad, and Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. And she is one of the complete women. What does it complete mean? You know, women who reach a level of perfection compared to other human beings. As Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كَمَلَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ كَثِيرٌ وَلَمْ يَكْمُلْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا أَسِيَةُ امْرَأَةُ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَرْيَمُ بِنْتُ عِمْرَانَ وَخَدِيجَةُ بِنْتُ خُوَيْلِدٍ وَفَضْلُ عَائِشَةَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ كَفَضْلِ الثَّرِيدِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الطَّعَامِ. He said, many men were complete, which means in their faith, character, taqwa, etc. But only three women were complete. Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, Maryam, the daughter of Imran, and Khadija, the daughter of Khuwaylid. This hadith is reported by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu. And the excellence of Aisha, he continued, the excellence of Aisha over other women is like the excellence of Thareed over other types of food. Thareed is a food which is made of bread and meat broth. So it's supposed to be full of nutrients and it's easy to digest. So it is better or easier, more useful than other types of food. And that is how Aisha is or was. Now Aisha radiallahu anha used to be jealous of Khadija, even though she did not meet her. She was married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a number of years after her. But she was jealous because of how frequently the Prophet ﷺ mentioned her and praised her. She was so jealous to the degree that she told him once, "Oh Allah's Messenger, you keep mentioning that old woman. But Allah gave you one who is better than her." And he said, "Ma abdalani Allahu khayran minha." No, Allah did not give me anyone who is better. لقد آمنت بي حين كفر الناس وأشركتني في مالها حين حرمني الناس ورزقني الله ولدها وحرمني ولد غيرها. He said, she believed in me when the other people disbelieved, made me a partner in her wealth when the other people refused to give me, and Allah granted me children from her, whereas he denied me children from anyone else. Another report, he said, وَآوَتْنِي إِذْ رَفَضَنِيَ النَّاسِ وَرُزِقْتُ مِنْهَا الْوَلَدِ وَحُرِمْتُمُوهُ مِنِّي. Which means, by Allah, she believed in me when the other people rejected me, sheltered me when the other people expelled me, and I was granted children from her, whereas you were denied to have children from me. Allah did not give you children from me, he is telling his other wives. And he was so upset with Aisha radiallahu anha when she said this for a full month. Until, you know, she apologized for him so many times for what she said about Khadija. So that shows you the position of Khadija in the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiallahu anha. The second of his wives is Sauda bin Zam'a radiallahu anha. Sauda was born about 50 years before Hijrah. And she married the Prophet ﷺ approximately 2 years before Hijrah. It was about the same time, the same year that he married Aisha radiallahu anha. So it was about the same, maybe the same few days that he performed his nikah, his marriage contract on Aisha, and he married Sauda. Aisha at that time was 6 years old. So he did not consummate his marriage with her until 3 years later. Until after the Battle of Badr, on the first year of Hijrah. Sauda died on the year 23 of Al-Hijrah. And that is an important date. Anybody knows why the year 23 of Al-Hijrah was an important date? What other thing happened on the year 23? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu died on the year 23 of Al-Hijrah. Everybody agrees to this? When did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam die?
The 10th
year. 10th of Hijrah. So Abu Bakr died 12th of Hijrah. So what happened on the 23rd? Umar radiallahu anhu was assassinated. So that was the same year. So she died at the end of the Khilafah of Umar radiallahu anhu. That's Sauda. The third one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made was Aisha. As we said, she was 9 years old when he consummated his marriage with her. She was a little girl at that time. And we will comment on this inshaAllah. She died on the year 57 of Al-Hijrah. And at that time, she was 65 years old. 57 of Al-Hijrah, that means after the Khilafah of Muawiyah and Yazid, maybe during the Khilafah of Abdul Malik bin Marwan. So she lived into, well into the Umayyah, the Khilafah or the era of Bani Umayyah. So when she died, she was about 65 years old. And by no comparison, she was the most, and she is, and she will be the most knowledgeable woman of this ummah, by the consensus of the ulama. Aisha radiallahu anha is the scholar of women of this ummah, and also the scholar of men of this ummah, the alima of women, and has more knowledge than most men of this ummah. The next woman that the Prophet ﷺ married was, and here there is slight difference among the scholars, so you may find, if you read in some books, they will name one of them, others will name another one, because he married them, ﷺ, at close dates to each other. Whom you think would be the next one, after Aisha? Salama, any other names? Hafsa? Okay, that's close. But actually, I mean, these are the ones, there was one who came just before these two, and that is, we do not hear much about her. Her name was Zainab bint Khuzayma, radiallahu anha. Zainab bint Khuzayma, or she is also called Umm al-Masakeen, the mother of the needy, because of how generous she was and she used to give the needy. Zainab bint Khuzayma, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married her for a brief time, maybe 2 months, and then she died. So she died soon after her marriage to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But she was for sure one of the mothers of the believers. She was married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the fourth year of Al-Hijrah, and she died the same year. And she was approximately 30 years when she died. You will find some scholars say that she was 60 years when she died. But Allah Allah, this seems to be the most correct opinion, that she was 30 years when she died. The next one was Salama radiallahu anha. And this makes sense. And I wouldn't be surprised even if he married Hafsa before Salama, even though the way I have it chronologically here is Salama preceded Hafsa. Why is that? Because when he proposed to Salama to marry her, she at first was reluctant to marry the Prophet ﷺ. And one of the reasons that she gave, she said, I am a jealous woman, and you have a number of women. So it means that he didn't have only one or two, he had a number of them. تَجْمَعُ النِّسَاءِ, she said. So he had Aisha for sure, and he had Sauda for sure. And Zainab bint Khuzaima, she died very shortly. After he married her. So she was not there. So it couldn't be just these two that she's referring to. She was probably referring to many more than that. So at least he was married to Hafsa as well. But anyways, these three, he married them in about the same year. Zainab bint Khuzaima, and it seems that the reporters, the scholars believe that he married Salama after her death. Then Salama, then Hafsa, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. He married Salama for the fourth year of Hijra, and she was at that time a little over 30 years old. She was a little over 30. And she died on the year 61 of Al-Hijra. She died on the year 61 of Al-Hijra. So she was the last of the mothers of the believers to die. And she was the oldest of them at that time. She was the oldest. She lived the longest of the mothers of the believers. She lived 90 years. That is Salama. And she is the second most knowledgeable of the mothers of the believers. Salama. Then next comes Hafsa bint Umar, the daughter of Umar, radiallahu anhuma. She married the Prophet ﷺ on the fourth year of Al-Hijrah. At that time she was approximately 22 years old, and she died on the year 41 of Al-Hijrah. And at that time she was about 57 years old. The next one that he married was one that has a famous story mentioned in the Quran. Anybody can think of her name? Zainab bin Jahsh. Zainab bin Jahsh. That Allah married her to the Prophet ﷺ in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ مِّنْهَا وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. After Zayd fulfilled his watar, his need for her, and divorced her, we gave her in marriage to you. So there was no need for any marriage contract and witnesses and things like that, because Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who married her to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the command came from Allah directly. And she used to boast about this to the other mothers of the believers. She used to say, your parents are the ones who gave you in marriage to the Prophet ﷺ. But as for me, Allah is the one who gave me a marriage from above his throne. That is Zainab bin Jahsh. She married the Prophet ﷺ on the fifth year of Al-Hijrah. And at that time she was about 38 years old. And she died on the year 20 of Al-Hijrah, and which was during the Khilafah of Umar. And when she died, she was about 53 years old. The next one was Juwayriya. Juwayriya bint al-Harith. Juwayriya bint al-Harith, the Prophet ﷺ married her after a battle called Ghazwatu Bani al-Mustaliq. She is from Bani al-Mustaliq. So she married her after she was captured with the war prisoners, and then she came to him. And there is an interesting story in her regard that maybe I would relate it to you. Aisha radiallahu anha says, when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divided the war captives of the tribe of Al-Mustaliq, Juwayriya bint al-Harith was given to Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas. She made a contract with him to free herself for money. So she agreed with him on Mukataba that, I think this tape is flipping or whoever, she agreed to buy herself off from him. And then she was a most beautiful woman. That is what Aisha is saying. No one seeing her but being baffled by her beauty. She came to Allah's Messenger seeking his help and paying herself off. By Allah, Aisha still is continuing. By Allah, when I saw her at my door, I hated her. She hated her because of how beautiful she was. Which means, you know, doesn't mean hated. They hate that, we understand. She means that I hated the fact that she's so beautiful because of something that she'll explain later. Next. And knew that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will find in her what I have found of beauty. That is, when she will talk to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he'll find her beautiful, like I saw her beautiful. She came in and said, O Allah's Messenger, I am Juwayriya bint al-Harith bin Abi Dhirar, the chief of his people. And I have been afflicted, as you are well aware. Which means I have been taken as a war captive and so on. I have been allotted to Thabit bin Qais bin Shammas. I have made a contract with him to pay myself off, and came seeking your help in that. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَهَلْ لَكِ خَيْرٌ مِّن ذَلِكَ. Would you like to consider a better deal? She asked, what is it, O Allah's Messenger? He said, أَقْضِي عَنْكِ كِتَابَتَكِ وَأَتَزَوَّجُكِ. He said, I pay that off for you and marry you. She said, certainly, O Allah's Messenger. And he said, قَدْ فَعَلْتُ. It is done. When the news came out that the Prophet ﷺ has made Juwayriya, the Muslims freed their captives from Al-Mustaliq, who had become the Prophet's brethren-in-law. So by this relationship, they did not want to keep any of her relatives as their captives, as an act of respect toward the Prophet ﷺ. Thus 100 households from Al-Mustaliq were freed. And I do not know any woman, that's Aisha still saying, I do not know any woman who brought more blessings to her people than Juwayriya did. Now, the next woman that the Prophet ﷺ married was Habiba bint Abi Sufyan. Habiba bint Abi Sufyan, the sister of Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan. And it's interesting that she lived up to the Khilafah of Muawiyah and died during his Khilafah. And he used to, you know, feel blessings by her presence with him and in around him when he was a Khalifa. She married to the Prophet ﷺ on the year 6 of Hijrah, and she was about 30 years old then. And she lived up to 42 of Al-Hijrah. And she was about 66 years old at that time. The next one was, now, who is left? There are just a few left. Do you remember any names? Two more. Ibrahim. Anybody else? Maria. No? Safiya, that's who come next. Safiya bint Huyay. Safiya bint Huyay, the Prophet ﷺ married her on the year 7 of Al-Hijrah. And her story is similar, or was similar to that of Juwayriya. After she was She was a captive, a war captive, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her to what's his name? Who remembers the name of the Sahabi who that Jibreel used to come in his form? Duhya al-Kalbi. Duhya al-Kalbi. So he gave her to Duhya al-Kalbi. And then some people came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they told him that she is the daughter of the chief, who was the chief of his people, and nobody deserves her other than yourself. So he gave the choice to Duhya, and he gave her to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in exchange for another war captive, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam freed her and married her. Safiya, she was the daughter of a Jew, but she became a Muslim and a very good Muslim. She, when the Prophet ﷺ married her on the 7th year of Al-Hijrah, she was about 17 years old. And she died in the year 50 of Al-Hijrah. She was at that time 60 years old. The last one that the Prophet ﷺ married, he married her after after the Umrah, after Umrah al-Qadha. Because you know when he went to Sulh al-Hudaybiyah and he could not perform Umrah, then he agreed with Quraysh to make up that Umrah the following year. And that was the year 7th year of Al-Hijrah. So immediately after he finished with the Umrah, he married her. Who was that woman? Who was that woman? I give you some hints. She was the aunt of Al-Abbas. Ibn Abbas, sorry. The aunt of Ibn Abbas. And to give you... Maymuna. Maymuna bint al-Harith. Exactly. And you know, you probably have read the hadith about Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when he went to stay in the house of his aunt Maymuna. He slept in her house when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was staying with her. It was her turn with him. And they prayed Taraweeh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up at night and he got up and prayed with him. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari. And he stood on his left side, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pulled him and put him on his right side, and so on. This hadith was in her house, in the house of Maymuna radiallahu anha. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Maymuna on the 7th year of Al-Hijrah, and she was about 37 years old at that time. And she died on the year 50 of Al-Hijrah. She was about 80 years when she died. This was the last of the wives that the Prophet ﷺ made. Now, Ibrahim, Maria al-Qubtiyya, the Coptic Maria, she was given to the Prophet ﷺ by al-Muqawqas, the king of Egypt, as a present. And Rasulullah ﷺ had her as a concubine, not as a regular wife, and she bore him Ibrahim. She bore him Ibrahim, and he married her, or he had her on the 7th year of Al-Hijrah, and she died on the 16th year of Al-Hijrah. When she died, she was about 26 years old. When the Prophet ﷺ had her, she was about 16 years old, approximately, very approximately. And the birth of her son granted her freedom, because before that, she was, as we said, a concubine, an owned woman of whom Allah Azza wa Jal has made reference in his book, إِلَّا وَمَا مَلَكَتْ يَمِينُكَ مِمَّا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. What your hand or right hand owns from what Allah has granted you. So she was one of those that he owns. There are other women that the Prophet ﷺ owned, and he had them as concubines, And one of them that you probably will hear his her name or have heard her name is Raihana. Raihana was Jewish also, and then she embraced Islam, and after the Prophet ﷺ conquered her people, but she and the Prophet ﷺ offered her to free her and marry her as a regular wife, as some scholars say. And they say that she refused because she did not want to be in the midst of the mothers of the believers when there is so much jealousy among them, or she would be subjected to jealousy. And the explanation doesn't make sense, because to be raised to the level of mother of the believers is a great honor that I doubt that she would reject. So probably he just wanted to keep her as a concubine. And there are a few more, two, three others that were his own women, Allahu A'lam. There are also a few other women that the Prophet ﷺ married, but he never consummated his marriage with them. About three or four. And the reasons for that vary from one to the other. There are two of them that seems he married them and he died, or they died before he consummated the marriage with them. Yeah, it stopped a while ago and I was looking for it. It's still going? Oh, okay. Alhamdulillah. And then there were one or two that after the marriage they did not want to be with the Prophet ﷺ. They rejected to be with him, and he divorced them immediately for some problem that he found in them, or something bad that they said that immediately caused him to divorce them. One of them is that I found the most authentic of the reports. The others, you find conflicting reports about them. One of them was Al-Jawniya, a woman from the tribe of Al-Jawn, as they call it. She is called Asma bin Ka'b Al-Jawniya. Aisha reported, and this is Al-Bukhari, that when Al-Jawniya was admitted to the Prophet ﷺ, that is to consummate his marriage with her, and he approached her, she said, "A'udhu billahi mink." I ask Allah to protect me from you, she said. And this is something very bad to say about the Prophet ﷺ. How can you ask Allah to protect you from a noble person of the level of the Prophet ﷺ? So he immediately divorced her, saying, لَقَدْ عُذْتِ بِعَظِيمِ الْحَقِي بِأَهْلِكِ. He said, indeed, you have sought protection from the greatest one. Go to your family, go to your people, and he divorced her. And some reports indicate that she regretted this for the rest of her life. She was so sorry, and she used to say, call me al-shaqiyya, call me al-shaqiyya, the miserable one. Because by this mistake, she lost that great honor that she could have, one of being the wife of the Prophet ﷺ in this life and in the next life. So that's Al-Jawniya. And some reports say, they seem to be weak reports, Allahu A'lam, there was a plot between Aisha and Hafsa against her. So they said they would prepare her for the Prophet ﷺ, and they prepared her, they beautified her and so on. And they told her, when you go to him, if you want to please him, say, A'udhu billahi mink, and he will like that. So she went and said that, and he said, go away, I don't want you anymore. So I don't think this story is true or authentic, but this is, you'll find it in the books of history as one of the narrations. But as I said, its isnad is weak. Okay, now we probably have a general overview about the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. I went very quickly over some of them. Especially, some of them deserve a lot of attention. especially Aisha radiallahu anha. So I'll go back and talk briefly about her and then mention one or two of the important incidents that took place between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wives. Aisha is the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And those two were at the time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Al-Madinah at least, were the two most beloved individuals to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As he said when he was asked about, as is reported by Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he said, I asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Allah's Messenger, who is the most beloved to you from among the people? Which person you love the most? He said, Aisha. So frankly, he's telling him, the most beloved person to me is my wife Aisha. He said, and from among the men. And from among the men. He replied, Abuha, her father. Her father. So the most beloved woman to him was Aisha, and the most beloved man to him was her father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma. And I'm not sure if it is this same hadith or another hadith, but probably it was the same, a continuation of it, that Amr ibn al-As, and that was shortly after he embraced Islam, and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being very kind to him, very smiling in his face, showing him a lot of kindness and respect and love and so on. So he thought that maybe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves him more than anybody else. So he asked him, who you love the most? And he was hoping that he would say you. But he said, Aisha. So he said, I'm talking about men. He said, Abu Bakr. He said, okay, who next? And again he was hoping that he would say you, but he said, Umar. So he said, Amr ibn al-As, he says, then I did not ask him anymore, because I was afraid that if I ask him again, he will name somebody else. So I stopped there. So he married her, as we said, shortly after the death of Khadija radiallahu anha. And this shows that no matter how much a person loves his wife, it is not recommended for a man to be without a wife. It is not recommended. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, immediately after the death of his most beloved wife, Khadija, and I'm not comparing the love between her and Aisha, because I do not have answer to that, Allahu alam. But I'm saying at that time she was most beloved to him. Shortly after that, he married two women, Aisha and Sauda. And he consummated the marriage with Sauda, but not with Aisha, because she was still too young. Aisha says, and this is the authentic report, that she was, I have to go back a little bit. I said that the report about Khadija being 40 years when the Prophet ﷺ married her, that it is in Bukhari, but no, I meant to say about this report about Aisha's age when he married her. And even this, now I have doubt if it is in Bukhari, but the other one is not in Bukhari. It is the more authentic of the reports, because some reports or some historians try to say that no, the Prophet ﷺ was 25, but she was about his age or a little younger or so on. But this, it seems that the correct reports indicate that Khadija was 15 years older than the Prophet ﷺ at the time of their marriage. But as for Aisha, this is the authentic report, and I will mention its isnad. She says, Allah's Messenger married me, which means he performed the contract, shortly after the death of Khadija, when I was 6 years old. I was brought in to him for marriage consummation when I was 9. Some women came to me when I was playing on a swing, my hair long, reaching my shoulders. So we don't even know if she was covered in hijab at that time or not. And that was definitely before the ayat of hijab, of complete coverage of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ revealed, a number of years before that. They adorned and beautified me and then took me to him. This hadith is recorded by Abu Dawood, and this is authentic. So strike out whatever I said about that. These are in Bukhari, but they are authentic reports about the dates for Aisha and for Khadija. Now, I have a comment here that I'd like to read to you, because we find that there's a lot of objection among the Westerners and the modernists, their followers of the modernists of our time, who say, who try to apologize to them and say, no, the Prophet ﷺ married Aisha when she was 20 years old. And they go to reports which are very weak in that regard, totally unauthentic. There are various reports about the age of Aisha, but this is the authentic one. So they say, the Orientalists or the Westerners say, how could a man who was about 50 some years old marry a girl who was not even a teenager at that time? That's child abuse, and that shows how evil was that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what I'm saying here is that a girl of 9 may still be a few years too young for marriage in most of today's cultures. However, the standards concerning the age of marriage were very different in earlier cultures. There are many documented cases of girls getting married in their early teens and thereafter living a most normal life and bearing many healthy children. That is by far better than the free practice of fornication among most of the so-called civilized young girls of our time, which has led to numerous cases of teen pregnancy, fatherless children, venereal diseases, drug addictions, and so on. Furthermore, in tropical and hot climates, it is very common for the girls to mature at a very early age, which was the case with Aisha radiallahu anha, as is obvious from numerous actions and incidents that are reported about her during her teens life with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And finally, there is no doubt that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen Aisha and has prepared her from her early years to be a worthy carrier of a great portion of the knowledge of prophethood. So this carries an aspect of belief as well, that we have to believe that Allah is the one who chose her and wanted her to marry the Prophet ﷺ at this early age so that she will be ready and fresh to learn the knowledge from him, and then she will continue to transmit it, to deliver it to others afterwards, after his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, we hear about cases where they say, in our time, people who go to some of the tropical countries, or close to tropical countries like Argentina and Brazil and countries like that, I have heard from a number of brothers that over there you find prostitutes in the streets who are very young, 12, 11, 13 years old, and they are already prostitutes in the street trying to get money for their bodies. And that is in haram. So this shows that, you know, indeed, at this age, the women mature in some climates more than in other climates. And that for a woman to be married, even at this young age, it is better for her than to be involved in all these prohibited practices that we know that happen, that they take place in those deviant societies. Aisha radiallahu anha was the only virgin that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married, and she used to boast about this to him and to others. So she once asked him, "O Allah's Messenger, if you were to stop for rest in a valley in which you find trees that have been grazed on, and one tree only on which no one has grazed, on which tree would you make your camel graze?" He replied, "الشَّجَرَةَ الَّتِي لَمْ يُؤْكَلْ مِنْهَا." Of course, the tree on which no one has grazed. She said, "I am that tree." So she is trying to remind him of her position compared to the other wives. And you heard the description of the Prophet ﷺ that her virtue compared to other women is like the reed as compared to other types of food. It is only reported about Aisha and Khadija that Jibreel would say to the Prophet ﷺ, "Give your wife salam." And he would tell her, "O Aisha or O Khadija, he is Jibreel and he is giving you salam." There are many incidents reported like that. And she would say, "وَعَلَيْكَ السَّلَامِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ تَرَى مَا لَا نَرَى." And salam be upon you or upon him, O Allah's Messenger. You see things that we cannot see. There is the story of the slander that Allah purified her from in Surah An-Nur. That was the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, wrote a story slandering by the Prophet ﷺ and his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. And at that time she was 12 years old. Allah Azza wa Jal purified her from that and declared her innocence in the Quran. And the Prophet ﷺ gave her the glad tidings after being for 1 month in suspense. He told her, "Ama wallahi laqad barra'aki Allah. Indeed, by Allah, Allah has declared your innocence." Allah Azza wa Jal said, this is ifkun mubeen and ifkun azeem, and so on. That this is indeed a great slander. Aisha was very jealous. As we heard, she was even jealous from Khadija radiallahu anha, who was dead. She was jealous for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She wanted him all for herself. And we know that when the Prophet ﷺ married Aisha, Sauda gave up her days with the Prophet ﷺ. Because at that time she was an older woman, approximately in her 50s, or close to 50. And Aisha radiallahu anha was young. And Sauda, as is described at that time, she said that, "I have no interest in men anymore." So she could not please the Prophet ﷺ at that age. And she was afraid that he may divorce her if he has no need for her. So why would he come to her to stay some nights with her when he has a younger wife or more? So she said, "Let me stay as your wife, but I give up my day to Aisha," because she knows how much he loves Aisha. So Aisha had 2 days, whereas the other wives of the Prophet ﷺ had 1 day. So let's say when he had only 4 wives, he would go to Aisha 1 day, and then another day, stay 2 days with Aisha, and then go to the second, then the third, then the fourth, then he comes to Aisha and stay 2 days, and so on. So he would spend more time with Aisha than with anyone other one of the mothers of the believers. And she used also to buy more days from the other mothers of the believers. Like give them something for exchange of days with the Prophet ﷺ. So she spent more time with him than any other of the wives of the of the mother of the believers, of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Despite all of that, of course, she was very jealous. Here is an example. This is reported by Anas and Salama. They say that once when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in Aisha's house with some of his companions, Salama sent to him a plate of food. So when Aisha saw it, when she saw the plate, she took a rock the size of a hand and hit the plate with it, breaking it in two pieces. So why is Salama sending the food here when it is my day in my house and so on? She considered this some kind of challenge. So the Prophet ﷺ gathered the parts of the plate together and told his companions, "Kulu gharat ummukum." Kulu gharat ummukum. He said, "Go ahead and eat. Your mother has been jealous. Eat. Your mother has been jealous." So they ate. The Prophet ﷺ then kept the broken plate in Aisha's house and sent a good plate of hers to Salama and said, "Ina'un ka'ina wa ta'amun ka'ta'am." A comparable plate for a damaged plate and a comparable food for a damaged food. So he gave a fair exchange. This hadith you find in Nasa'i ibn Majah and other books of hadith, and it is authentic. Al-Albani rahimahullah declared it authentic in Irwa al-Ghareeb. Aisha radiallahu anha reported that one night she could not find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam next to her. It was her turn. He's supposed to be sleeping next to her. So she looked around her in the bed and he was not there. So she got up and started looking for him. And she finally found him. It is dark, of course. She found him. She touched his knees and found him prostrating, praying. And so she passed her finger through his hair to see if he had showered. She thought maybe he went to one of the other mothers of the believers. And after he was done with her, he took his shower and now he's praying. So she passed her hand through his hair. He said, "Qad ja'aki shaytanuki." After that he said, "Your devil has surely come to you." She asked, "O Allah's Messenger, do you not have a devil?" He's talking about the Qareen, you know. So she said, "Don't you have a devil?" He said, "Bala, walakinna Allah a'anani alayhi fa aslam." "Yes, indeed, but Allah helped me against him so that he embraced Islam." Aisha reported similar, it could be the same incident or a similar one. She reported that she missed the Prophet ﷺ one night and thought that he went to another one of his wives. She started looking for him and found him praying in ruku' or sujood, whispering, "Subhanaka wa bihamdik la ilaha illa ant." "Subhanaka wa bihamdik la ilaha ant." "Exalted be you and praise to you. There is no God worthy of being worshipped except you." So she said, "May my father and mother be your ransom." "Fidaka abi wa ummi," or "bi abi anta wa ummi." "Indeed, you are involved in one affair and I in a different affair." Which means you worry about yourself, saving yourself, about worshipping Allah and addressing Him, and I am worrying about jealousy and things like that. There is a long story that I will not read. You can find it in you'll be able to read it in this book, or else I think it is available. I have it in either the funerals, the book on funerals, or the Al-Barzakh, maybe in the funerals book. When she, when I tell you the beginning of it, and then you, I'll summarize the rest for you. She said that one night when it was her turn with Allah's Messenger, he retired to bed, took off his upper garments. You know, they used often to wear two garments, one like the people wear in Hajj, one around the lower side, one around the upper side. So the upper half of the body. So he took off his upper garments, took off his shoes, and put them near his feet, and then spread the edge of his izar, or lower garment, and lie down on bed, on the mattress, on the ground. He waited until he thought that she was asleep. Then quietly got up, took his upper garment, put on his shoes, opened the door, and stepped out, quietly closing it behind him. So when this happened, Aisha was still awake. He thought that she was sleeping, but she was awake. So she quickly took her clothes, put them on herself, covered herself, and ran after him. So he was walking fast as his usual habit, and he walked towards the Al-Baqiya, the graveyard. And of course, I mean, he was not afraid of ghosts and things like that, going to the graveyard in the middle of the night. So she went there and she saw him standing there and raising his hand, making supplications. And then he turned around and he started walking back towards Al-Madinah. And when she saw him turning back, she started running ahead of him. She didn't want him to know that she was following him. And he started walking fast, she started walking running fast. And then she got into the house and lied down in the bed. And he came in after her, and he found her panting in the bed. So he said, "What is wrong with you?" And she said, "Nothing." She replied, "Nothing, Allah's Messenger." He said, "You either tell me or Allah will tell me." So she said, "May my father and mother be a ransom for you, Allah's Messenger." And she told him what happened. So he said, "So you are that darkness, that black thing that I saw before me?" She said, "Yes." So he pushed her in her chest. And he said, "Adhanamti an yahif Allahu alayki wa rasuluh." Did you think that Allah and His Messenger would be unfair to you by giving you rightful time to another wife? This is not true or possible. And she said, "Whatever the people hide, Allah knows." And then he told her what he wants, what he said, what supplication he said to the for the people, for the dead people. There's some discussion of the fighting that took place between her and Ali radiallahu anhu. I will skip that. And in the remaining time of the lifetime of this cassette, inshallah, I will tell you some other incidents that took place among the mothers of the believers. And it's very interesting. I mean, it shows that the mothers of the believers were actually human beings. They had feelings. They were women. And there are many similarities between them and the other women. So they are not like people from out of this world, from out of space or somewhere. They are normal women. And therefore, there are many things that took place between them or among them or between them and the Prophet ﷺ that tell us that these are possible things that would take place among married people. And therefore, we should learn how to deal with such things in a different way from what we possibly are doing because of when we see how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with similar situations. So, the mothers of the believers formed themselves into two teams, two opposing teams. That was after the Prophet ﷺ completed his nine, because he was married, and that was one of the answers that the brothers gave about how many the Prophet ﷺ was married to. Somebody said nine. This is a correct answer in the sense that at one time he had nine wives, no more than nine wives. And that was, when he died, he had nine wives. When he died, he left behind nine wives. But two of them died before that. Who were? Khadija, and who was the other one? Do you still remember? Zainab bin Khuzaima. Zainab bin Khuzaima. So that left nine of them who died after him. So those nine formed two teams. Two opposing teams. The first team was, now, who would you expect to be on the first team? Just some names. Well, of course, The leader of one team is Aisha. Of course, that's what you will expect. And it's interesting, Aisha was a teenager in our standards. But Sauda, from the reports that you see, authentic reports, some of them from Sauda herself, it shows that Sauda, who was an old woman at that time, the age of her grandmother, she was in her 50s, she used to be scared of Aisha. And she finds herself obliged to obey her. If she tells her do this, she has to do it. So she is the leader and she has to go by the command of the leader. So the first team was Aisha and some followers. The other team, who are the two other, it had two main opponents of Aisha. Who are they? Salama and Hafsa was one of them. No, Hafsa actually was in her team, in Aisha's team. Salama and Zainab bin Jahsh. These are the two that she used to feel the competition the strongest with them. So Aisha radiallahu anha reported that Allah's Messenger's wives were two teams. One team included Aisha, Hafsa, Safiya, and Sauda. Aisha, Hafsa, Safiya, and Sauda. And the other team included Salama and the rest of Allah's Messenger's wives. The other wives that we named earlier. So, and knowing Allah's Messenger's superior love of Aisha, that was a common knowledge. All the Muslims in Al-Madina knew that the Prophet ﷺ loved Aisha more than all his other wives. And you heard his answer to Amr ibn al-As. So the Muslims who wanted to give a present to him, they would delay giving it until he was in Aisha's house. So, let's say his turn in Aisha's house will be Tuesday and Wednesday. And they know they know when he will be in which house. So they say, no, we will not give it now, we give it when he is in Aisha's house, because he loves her more, so the gift will be more precious, will appear better to give it to him when he is in Aisha's house. So Salama's team asked her to talk to him and ask him to tell the people to give their presents regardless of which house of his wives he would be at. Because, you know, all the gifts go to Aisha now. And that is unfair. How about them? So they asked him to do that. When it was the turn of the Prophet with Salama, she told him that. But he did not give any response. He remained silent. When she told her team about this, they asked her to talk to him again. So she spoke to him when it was her next turn. And he still did not give any response. Her team told her, keep talking to him until he gives you a response. On her next turn, she again brought up with him that subject. And he said, لا تؤذيني في عائشة لا تؤذيني في عائشة فإن الوحي لم يأتني وأنا في ثوب امرأة إلا عائشة. He said, do not hurt me in regard to Aisha. Indeed, the revelation did not come to me while I was under any woman's covers except Aisha. So Jibreel did not come to the Prophet ﷺ with the revelation when he was in the bed of any woman other than Aisha. And that is a merit for Aisha. So what he's telling her is that Aisha has been chosen by Allah Azza wa Jal for certain merits. And I love her for those merits. So do not try to harm me or hurt me in her regards. Because she is a special person. And it is not that he is differentiating in treatment, in mu'amala, between his wives. But in terms of love, she deserves his most love because of certain divine or merits that are given, granted to her by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Salama then said, I repent to Allah from doing anything that would hurt you, Allah's Messenger. Salama's team then asked Fatima radiallahu anha Allah's Messenger's daughter to intervene on their behalf. Now Fatima, how old is she compared to Aisha radiallahu anha? Who is older, Fatima or Aisha? Who was older, Fatima or Aisha? Any ideas? Fatima was older. How many years approximately? Huh? Are you here? 14 years older? I don't think so. I think it's a little less than that. But she was older by probably, let's see, if it is 7 or so. If I can find it quickly, I will tell you otherwise, inshallah. I remember that was about 7 years. She died. Yeah, I cannot say for sure now, but I remember it was about 7 years. Allahu a'lam. So anyways, Fatima, they sent Fatima. And Fatima went to him and she said, your wives are asking you for justice in regard to the daughter of Abu Bakr. And this was a custom, you know, that they talk. They do not say sometimes the name of the person, but his or her kunya by the name of their father. Like they say, Ibn al-Khattab, Yabn al-Khattab. When they talk to Umar, they say, Yabn al-Khattab, O son of al-Khattab. They don't say Umar or Umar. They say, O son of al-Khattab. O son of Abu Quhafa for Abu Bakr. O daughter of Abu Bakr. So she is saying, they're asking you justice in regard to the daughter of Abu Bakr. He said, Ya Bunayya, أَلَا تُحِبِّينَ مَا أُحِبْ. O my daughter, do you not love what I love? She replied, yes. He pointed to Aisha. Because she came to him in the house of Aisha. And the reports say that he was actually with her on the bed, sitting on the bed with her, on the mattress. So he pointed to Aisha and he said, فَأَحِبِّي هَذِي. Don't you love what I love? She said, yes. He said, okay, then love this person, Aisha. So she went back to them and informed them of what happened. They said, we do not see that you were of any help to us. They wanted her to go again to him, but she refused, saying, by Allah, I will never speak to him again in her regard. Because he gave her a final answer. She should love her. So that's it, she should love him. Finally, they sent Zainab bin Jahsh. Raging with anger, Zainab stormed into Aisha's house, where the Prophet ﷺ was. She raised her voice, saying, O Allah's Messenger, indeed your wives demand justice in regard to Ibn Abi Quhafa's daughter. Are you only satisfied when she opens her little arms for you to convince you of anything she wants, that is? She then turned to Aisha and started addressing her with harsh words. The Prophet ﷺ tried to stop her, but she went on. And Aisha remained silent, waiting for the Prophet's permission to say something. Finally, so she looked at him, let me say something. And I mean, with her looks, she was hoping that he would give her permission. And Zainab kept attacking her. Finally, Rasulullah ﷺ, when he found that this has gone for too long, he looked at Aisha and he said, Dunaki fantasiri. He said, Dunaki fantasiri. Go ahead, defend yourself. Aisha then responded with full force, leaving Zainab totally speechless. Aisha said, until I could see the saliva dry in her mouth, unable to respond. Aisha said, the Prophet ﷺ was pleased with that. He looked at Aisha approvingly and said, إِنَّهَا بِنْتُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ. Indeed, she is Abu Bakr's daughter. Now, I have a couple of notes here that I will not read because, again, of the time limitations, but one of them I will just summarize to you, that why was the Prophet ﷺ pleased? Because he found that Zainab went overboard in attacking Aisha without right. And he was pleased that Aisha was able to defend herself. And he praised her as being the daughter of Abu Bakr because of her knowledge and her ability to stand her grounds like her father, being from a house of knowledge and of understanding. The next story is a long one also, and I don't know if you have enough time in the remaining 10 minutes or so, or 7 minutes of the lecture to cover it, but I'll mention as much as possible and probably summarize the rest. And that is the time when the wives of the Prophet or some of them cooperated against them, against him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They made a plot against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And how was that? It is also based or because of their jealousy. Each one of them or some of them want him more to be with them more than others. Aisha reported that Allah's Messenger used to visit all of his wives after Asr prayer, spending a short time closely chatting with each one of them. So that was his practice. Go turn around, go to each one of the wives and spend a few minutes with her every day after Asr prayer. And coming close to her, maybe hugging her, kissing her, something. And that was chatting with her before he went to the one who had her turn, so that he would spend the night with her. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked honey and sweets. Once a woman from among the relatives of Zainab bin Jahsh gave Zainab a jar of honey as a present. So when she would offer the honey to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he visited her, which would briefly extend the duration of his visit. So when he came to her after Asr, he sits with her a little bit, so she gives him some honey. And how long would it take for someone to eat one or two licks of honey? A few minutes, maybe at most. 2 minutes, 3 minutes. But the wives used to measure the time of the Prophet ﷺ. He spent 1.5 minutes in this house, 1.5 minutes here. Now he is spending almost 2.5 minutes in this other house. So that is unacceptable. So when they noted that, the other wives became jealous. Led by Aisha and Hafsa, they decided to put an end to it. By Allah, we will scheme something, they said. Aisha said. Aisha is the one who decided that. She is the mastermind of this. They agreed that when the Prophet ﷺ approached either one of them, she would pretend that she was repulsed by a foul odor coming from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which resembled that of a wild desert plant called maghafir. So when he comes to her, she says, "What is this? Did you eat maghafir today?" Allah's Messenger hated foul odors. When he went to Aisha radiallahu anha, she inquired about the foul odor emanating from him. "You must have eaten some maghafir. I can surely smell the odor of maghafir coming from you," she added. He denied that and said that he only had some honey at Zainab's. She said, "The bees must have grazed on maghafir flowers." When he went to Hafsa radiallahu anha, she said the same. So when this was repeated, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought that it was true. Now there are reports, and whether it's the same incident or some other incident, Allahu A'lam, say that other wives also said the same to him. Among them Sauda, saying the same. And that Sauda felt sorry after that, because the Prophet ﷺ said, "I will never touch that honey anymore." So she felt sorry because she prevented the Prophet ﷺ, she loved him, and she prevented him from something that he likes. But still she could not disobey Aisha radiallahu anha, so she had to do as he told her. So the next time he went to Zainab, she said, "Oh Allah's Messenger, I will give you some honey." He replied, "La hajata li bih. I have no desire for it." So Allah revealed, "Ya ayyuha nabiyyu lima tuharrimu ma ahalla Allahu lak, tabtaghi mardata azwajik, wallahu ghafurur rahim, qad farada Allahu lakum tahillata aymanikum, وَاللَّهُ مَوْلَاكُمْ وَهُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Which means, O Prophet, why do you prohibit for yourself that which Allah has made lawful for you, seeking the approval of your wives? Allah is forgiving and merciful. Allah has already ordained for you the procedure for dissolution of your oaths, as in other places of the Quran, that you feed 10 poor people, or clothe them, or free a slave, or fast 3 days. Allah is your protector, and He is the knowing and wise. When Allah's Messenger made his oath, he confided that to Aisha radiallahu anha. He said, شَرِبْتُ عَسَلَ وَلَنْ أَعُودُ وَقَدْ حَلَفْتْ وَلَا تُخْبِرِي لِذَلِكَ أَحَدًا. He said, I have taken some honey, some of that honey. When she asked him what happened and so on, he said, I ate that honey that had this, give this bad odor, but I will never take it anymore. I have also made an oath in that regard, so inform no one about it. However, Aisha went and told Hafsa about this oath. And then Allah reproached them. وَإِذْ أَسَرَّ النَّبِيُّ لَبَعْدِ أَزْوَاجِهِ حَدِيثًا فَلَمَّا نَبَّأَتْ بِهِ وَأَظْهَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ عَرَّفَ بَعْضَهُ وَأَعْرَضَ عَنْ بَعْضٍ. And remember when the Prophet ﷺ confided to one of his wives a statement. And when she informed another of it, and Allah showed that to him, he made known part of it and ignored a part. And when he informed her about it, she said, who told you this? He said, the one who is knowing and acquainted has informed me. Now the scholars differ about these ayat, and there is no time to go into the difference. Some of them give other reasons for why they were revealed. But Allahu A'lam, this is the strongest. And it is possible that it is at this point, and for some other things related to what happened here, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam divorced Hafsa. And Hafsa was the only woman that he divorced. He divorced her, and then Jibreel came soon after, and he told him that Allah commands you to take her back, because she is a woman, a good woman, who prays a lot and fasts a lot. So he took her back. And he told her, she is your wife in Jannah. She will be your wife in Jannah, so he took her back. So, the time is over, and this covers some of the lives, or the incident that took place between the Prophet ﷺ and his wives. And it gives us, I hope, some idea of how women act and behave, even if they are of the great status of the mothers of the believers. May Allah be pleased with them. And for more information, inshallah, you can go to this book, which, as I said, will be available about 1 month from now. هذا سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Which one you want? I have 3 of them.
He said, JazakAllah khair, and we will not say Sheikh Jawadi, we will say Sheikh Abu Abdullah. There. And we really ask Allah SWT to reward brother here, Sheikh Abu Abdullah, for his coming here from Arlington. This is a 3.5 hour drive. And on the way, he stopped and offered his Jama prayer in Killeen. And alhamdulillah, he was able to gather a lot of brothers in Killeen, as well as from San Antonio, so I can welcome all of the brothers here. Especially for the sisters, we welcome them. And we apologize for any inconvenience we caused before by our lack of managing the time properly.